Welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk with the Queen. Since this month is a health awareness month, I would like to tackle more of it, as one of the biggest tools we have to fight health conditions is the power of human connection. That's why awareness months or weeks and days are so important, as they rally us together to spread awareness and show support. Now, as part of it, let's talk how emotional pain affects your body and what can we do to rid of ourselves if we are living in constant and emotional abuse. Now, emotional pain can become an addiction to some people. Overwhelmed with feelings like sadness, depression, guilt, shame or fear, you know, these emotions become so common and constant that you may feel like it's a part of you and you can't imagine life without it. While this emotional pain can be significant and exhausting when it continues for a prolonged period of time, it also can end up affecting your physical health as well. In some instances, emotional pain can cause physical pain. So what are the common feelings associated with emotional pain that can impact your health? Number one is sadness. Sadness involves bottle up feelings of grief or disappointment. Choking back those tears takes a lot of energy, like leaving you feeling drained, burdened, and even achy. It is common to feel drained or weak, but sadness should not be confused with depression. Take note of that, which can be successfully treated as properly prescribed medications by the doctor. And if sadness lasts for more than just a few days and impacts your daily life or your daily routine, it may be necessary to seek out medical intervention. Unexpressed anger. You know, anger releases our adrenaline, which increases muscle tension and speeds up breathing. This is the fight part of the fight-flight-freeze response. Like, you know, without being expressed, the anger causes long-term tension, and if it's not released, it can end up exploding in a rage or outburst. Actually, that's why I call it fight-flight-freeze, you know. Now, there are some people, they keep their anger inside, and if they get pissed for real, then expect the unexpected. And there are also some people who is like very transparent when they express their anger. So we are all different. Like me, for example, I can't hide my anger. I have to express it vocally, otherwise I'm gonna be crazy. Now, and as with anger, anxiety also, or worry or fear, releases our adrenaline. This generally results in jumpiness or a tendency to startle easily, the inability to relax, you know, the fight part of the fight-flight-freeze response, or feeling of being immobilized or stuck, which is the freeze part of the fight-flight-freeze response again. I love this fight-flight-freeze response. However, some anti-anxiety medication is very addictive. So medication is usually prescribed along with cognitive behavioral therapy. This therapy can help teach coping strategies to better manage your anxiety symptoms. Now, anxiety can be induced by alcohol or drugs, and quitting alcohol, for example, and drugs can resolve the symptoms. Now, you just have to tell your doctor about any alcohol or drug use to ensure that you are properly diagnosed and treated. Shame or guilt? You know, shame and guilt often result in a feeling of butterflies or weight in the stomach. Common among people with addictions and chronic pain, shame is worsened by the need for secrecy and the inability to do things for yourself. If it's not reduced, shame and guilt can cause nausea and other stomach disorders. So actually, guys, this is just the common feelings associated with emotional pain that can impact our health. Now let's listen to the interview of one of our personal life coach trainer as he will explain to us what is life under the constant emotional abuse.
Life under constant emotional abuse. This is a topic that I haven't really discussed before because it's one of those things that I don't really like to talk about, and it's part of my situation that I don't spend a lot of time reminiscing about. But I think it's something that it's important to go over, and it's important for people to realize. It's something that I think you might be going through, and this might strike a chord with you, and maybe it might help you to understand what's going on and give you some hope to move forward. Okay, so the first part about this is, how does it feel, right? How do you feel when you're living in a situation where you're constantly under covert narcissistic abuse? Well, the first thing is, it feels overwhelming. It's very oppressive, and you don't really know where it's coming from. You know, you feel like you're always wrong, no matter what you do, it's not good enough, that things just aren't adding up, that no matter, you know, what you do, it doesn't seem to break through. It doesn't seem to fix the situation. The other thing on this is, you can feel like you're constantly beat down. You're constantly run down. You're depressed and confused, and you don't really know which end is up. Now, the other part of this is, whenever you're going through this, when I say living under constant emotional abuse, it's generally not constant, as in like every day it's oppressive. It can feel oppressive, but it's intertwined with moments of, you know, or the appearance of things being okay. See, one of the things is, your ex knows how to read you. They know what you're looking for, and as this progresses, you are so drawn to something being positive that even the slightest breadcrumb of positive attention or positive affirmation from them is going to make you think that everything's okay. You will take all of the situations that feel wrong, that feel like that don't make sense, and you'll negate those, and you'll focus on that, thinking, one, that everything isn't really as bad as it is, and the second part of it is you feel like you are the problem. You feel like, wow, I'm so lucky to be with this person, and, you know, I wish I could be as good as they are, and you don't realize what's really going on. Okay, so here's the stark reality of this is, whenever you're in that state, when you're in that time, when you're in the middle of it, it's a very dangerous time. It's the hardest time that you are going to go through, because more than likely, you're going to be at your lowest. You're going to feel like you're a failure with everything that you're doing. All the constant subtle put downs and just the undermining of everything you're trying to do is going to make you feel like you're a failure, like that you just can't do it. That you're not worthy. That you're just not good enough. Back then, that wasn't the case. Back then, I thought I was, well, I guess in retrospect, I mean, I thought I was living in a house of cards that had the potential to fall apart at any moment, which technically was true. So I was constantly anxious about what was going to happen next. I was, you know, or what, how things were going to play out. So again, like I said at the beginning of this is that you have to realize that it's a temporary situation. You have to give yourself the hope for the opportunity to get happiness. I remember at one point when I finally got to the point where I was ready to leave, that was basically my gamble. It was, okay, this sucks, this doesn't feel good, but I deserve the opportunity to be happy. And I have to at least try. I have to at least make that step to see if things can get better, because, you know, did I think that things could get worse? I wasn't sure. I mean, there was a risk. I mean, there was a part of me in the back of my mind that thought that this would be the worst decision that I ever made, that things would just be horrible, and that I wouldn't be able to get through it and progress past it, that I would destroy the relationship and that I would regret it. And you may be having that same conversation with yourself. You may be unsure of, well, is it really that bad? You know, at least maybe I have somebody. At least he or she is there. You know, at least I have a home. At least I have this. At least I have that. Guys, when you are going through that and you're making those deals with yourself, that's part of the process that's driving you crazy. So when you're trying to figure out what you can do with this, the first thing is don't make rash decisions. Now, and what I just said could sound like, well, you know, leaving sounds like a rash decision. No, you slowly and methodically, you know, outline your pros and cons, look at your risks and you know, the risk mitigation techniques, if you want to call it that. What is your best course of action going forward, right? So, you know, what I mean by rash decisions is don't do something silly like, you know, get a DUI or get into a fight or go off on your boss or do something to where it threatens your employment. You need to make reasonable decisions, not emotional decisions. I know I talk about that a lot, but that's really critical when you're trying to figure out what to do on this. The next thing is you have to take steps to change your environment. You have to decide that you don't like the situation you're in, that you don't want to live that way anymore, and take steps to make a difference, to try to make things different. Now, for the most of us, that's going to be doing things at home to try to fix the situation. That's going to be either making a change in your physical environment to where you clean up the house, or you start, you know, taking more pride in what's going on at the house, or you go to marriage counseling to try to work on the relationship. You're doing those steps to try to fix the situation. Now, ultimately, after you spent some time trying to do that, the right decision for you may be, and probably ultimately will be, to get out of the relationship, to get away, to escape from this toxic environment. When you're in that, when you are under that constant state of chaos, it's really hard to see clearly what's going on, right? It's really tough, and you probably can understand that. You can probably relate to that.
So how do we break free from this long-standing emotional pain? You know, this can be hard to do, especially if you are dealing with difficult emotions. But it's important to be aware of your emotions, as you can't change what you don't recognize or don't admit to yourself. Practice the attitude of self-acceptance, as this will help you feel more compassionate towards yourself, which also help you think more clearly, as you can start to identify what you need to work on. Once you know what the problem is, you can turn your attention to generating appropriate solutions. And lastly, you've probably heard that a balanced life is a recipe for contentment. But what does that mean? Balance is taking care of your whole self, like diet, exercise, sleep, work, relationships, social life, and fun. Now take a look at the big picture of your life and identify if there are any areas you have been neglecting. Commit to taking better care of yourself and develop a daily plan to turn that commitment into reality. I hope you all find today's topic something that we can think of. And if you know someone who needed this kind of help, you can do so. You can definitely help them by just following and understanding what we have talked about today. And you can help anyone who is suffering from constant emotional abuse. On behalf of Chinita Filipina team, we would like to thank you all for listening to us, and we want to thank our sponsors, of course, for your continuous support as we do what we do because of you. Please send us your thoughts. You can send us email at info.chinitafilipina.com. You can call into our podcast using the Anchor mobile app and send us a voice message. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram, and you can visit our website at www.chinitafilipina.com. Now please become our supporter by clicking that button, become our supporter, and we'll make sure to provide you interesting topics such like these. And stay tuned to our next episode only here at anchor.fm.